children, I am writing you these things so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not only for ours, but for those of the whole world.
Good morning. Great to see everybody today and have this opportunity to worship the Lord together. It's been kind of busy around here the last couple of days, and just want to give our appreciation to all those who are able to come out and work over in the field next door. It started on Friday. We have Rick Williams there driving the tractor, getting some things done for us, and then the work continued yesterday. Eldon and Earl out there doing the job, and along with Harley and Mike doing his best impersonation yesterday of a Caltrans worker. We couldn't get him to do a thing. He just leaned on the shovel all day long. Eventually he got to help in there toward the end, I'd have to say. And Doris and Jim and Doris did a great job of doing a whole lot of leveling off over there. Emily and her mom, Donna, they worked all the way down the side there, down that fence. And Andy coming up here in a second. And Frank really wanted to drive the big tractor. We said, you know, you might be able to start off on this one. So Andy gave him some lessons, and after a while, we let Frank take a couple of times back and forth. But we're finally kind of finessing our way where the city is concerned, and we're getting sprinklers put in here now this week, and getting some grass seed down. And hopefully this summer we'll actually be using that piece of property next door, getting our picnic tables over there. It's going to be a real blessing. So just appreciate all those who were able to come out at such short notice yesterday. It was kind of a last-minute work day, and we really appreciate all the help. It was terrific. You know, one of the most foolish things I ever did, besides wearing black horn-rimmed glasses that made me look like I'm wearing one of those masks, other than that, one of the most foolish things I ever did was to break off my relationship with Ellen for a period of time back in the first part of 1971. We weren't married, so don't worry. I don't know what I was thinking. I sort of know what I was thinking, but I would be embarrassed to tell you, and so I'm not going to. But it was like, hey, we're friends, but we're just not going to date exclusive, all blah, 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 blah. And Ellen was in Modesto, and Empire, to be precise, and I was down here, Hawthorne. And I realized pretty quick what a really foolish thing I had done. About 6 weeks later, her sister called me on the phone and said, you know, it's Ellen's birthday, we're having a surprise birthday party. Maybe you and John, my best friend, maybe you and John would like to come up to the birthday party. And I thought, yeah, I'd really like to come up to that birthday party. So John and I did. We got in his car. We drove up to Empire and knocked on the door. We got there a little late because it's quite a drive from down here. And Ellen answered the door. She had the big smile. I was really happy to see. She had a smile on her face when she saw us. I thought, you know, I'm not wasting any time. Before the evening was over, having recognized the error of my ways, we were back together again. Sigh of relief, round of applause, of course. And just kidding, but it was for me. And I was just so thankful for Ellen's sister calling me up, arranging this, kind of being sort of a mediator between us. Sometime later, and Ellen and I are kind of, we just can't really remember the timing on this, but we both think it was probably before we were married 2 years later. She said, you remember that surprise birthday party? I said, yeah, I'm so glad about that. And she said, well, I feel like there's something I need to tell you about it. And I said, what's that? She said, well, I planned it. And I said, no, but your sister called me. I told my sister to call you. But you were so surprised when you... No, I wasn't really surprised at all when you opened the door. And I'm not sure she regrets that after so many years, but I'm so thankful that in this case, she became her own mediator. You know, she became her own mediator, and it didn't take much nudging, I'll tell you, to get us back together. I've been grateful for that ever since. Sometimes we can take steps ourselves to mend a broken relationship or one that needs a little help. But when it comes to our relationship with God, we need help. We need a mediator. We need someone who can stand between us and God and who can mend that relationship. We not only need a mediator, we need somebody to redeem us from the sin problem, because we know that's why we need help with God in our relationship with Him. Our sins have severed that relationship, and we've got no deal to make, do we? We've got no agreement to put on the table. We've got no answers for this, and we're hopeless and helpless and in despair, and we need a mediator. We need someone to come and bring us together. And that mediator, of course, is our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5, Paul says, "For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all." Notice this, our mediator is the one who gave himself as a ransom to bring back the relationship that we have with God. He pays the price for our sins and then mediates the reconciliation. Or as the writer of Hebrews says in Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3, "After making purification for sins, Jesus sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high." He makes purification, and then He ascends into the heavens and sits at the right hand of the Majesty on high. We've spoken the last couple of weeks about the ascension, and last week how Jesus ascends into the heavenly realms, and how by faith we in Christ are seated with Him in the heavenly realms, experiencing and sharing in His victory and in the assurance of our faith. The ascension, though, is not just the story of Jesus rising up to be exalted. It is also the story of how Jesus now becomes our mediator and our intercessor at the right hand of the Father. And He does so. First of all, our mediator becomes our mediator by addressing that problem of sin and presenting His own blood as the payment for our sin. I want us to never forget, and as we go through this lesson, I'll probably say it more than once, remember the cost to God for what has happened in our lives, for the forgiveness of sins, for the mediation, for the intercession that Christ continues on our behalf. Continue to remember the cost of the blood of Jesus Christ. And though Jesus shed His blood on this earth, on the cross, we realize there's a sense in which the transaction for our forgiveness takes place in the heavenly realms where God is, where our problem exists between ourselves and our fellowship with God. The Hebrew writer speaks of this mediator work of Jesus as His high priesthood. We've sung about that this morning. Our great high priest, the one who stands between us and God to bring us back together, to deal with the problem of sin, who stands between us and God in order to make peace. And the Old Testament priests, the priests under the law of Moses, we recognize, they offered their offerings there at the tabernacle among the people of God, but not our high priest. Our high priest offers up the sacrifice in the heavenly realm itself. In Hebrews chapter 9, verse 24, the writer says, "For Christ has entered, not into the places made with hands, which are copies of the true things, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God on our behalf." Jesus presently is in the very presence of God to appear there for you and for me. He has entered heaven itself to offer up the sacrifice. And where the Old Testament priests offered up the blood of animals, as we're very much aware of, Jesus, we're told in chapter 9 and verse 12 of Hebrews, offered up His own blood. He entered once for all into the holy places, not by means of the blood of goats and calves, but by means of His own blood, thus securing eternal redemption. Jesus ascends into the heavens, and it's there in the heavenly realms that His blood is presented as the atoning sacrifice or the propitiation for our sins. He pays the price for our sins. And this same Jesus who pays the price for our sins so that we can come back to the Father and find forgiveness and reconciliation continues there at the Father's right hand to plead on our behalf, to serve as our advocate. 1 John 2, our brother Jason read just a moment ago, "My little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous." An advocate. An advocate is an attorney, a defense attorney, someone who stands up before the judge on your behalf and pleads your case before the judge. And Jesus himself, Jesus who offers up his blood for us, Jesus who is our mediator, is the advocate that stands between us and God as we deal with the need for our own forgiveness day in and day out, as we continue to come back to the throne of God and seek forgiveness. I imagine the scene sort of like this. I'm coming before God in prayer and there's some sin that I've committed and I'm wanting to turn from it and confess it. Maybe it's something that's been plaguing my life for a long time. And it's like, how many times have I come before the throne of God with this same confession? How many times have I said, God, please forgive me of this. Please give me the strength to overcome. And maybe it's just a recurring issue that I'm facing in my life. And I wonder, is there grace still? Is there mercy still? And there is Jesus as my advocate saying, Father, I want you to look at this sinner Jesus, this sinner Richard as he comes to you today. But he realizes he has no merit. He has nothing to offer you. He makes no excuses. But Father, he comes to you in my name. He comes to you by my authority. He comes into your very presence right now by virtue of my blood. Father, have mercy on him. I bore the sins of this man, Richard. I bore his sins in my body on the tree at Calvary. I poured out my blood to forgive him of his sins. Father, forgive him. Have mercy on him. I join my plea with his Father. By your mercy and grace and my blood, make him whole. I'm not saying that that conversation literally happens every time that we pray and ask forgiveness, but I am saying that that's exactly, spiritually speaking, what goes on every time that we come before the Father. We have an advocate, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. And notice the very next verse said that he's the propitiation for our sins. He's the atoning sacrifice. The one who mediates is also the sacrifice himself who makes that relationship with God possible. How blessed it is for you and I today to have an advocate, a mediator in Jesus, who's paid the price for our sins and now pleads our case continually before the Father's throne to seek and to secure our forgiveness continually. And because of that role that he plays on our behalf, his ministry toward us, as mediator, Jesus also opens up to us the possibility of an intimate relationship with our Heavenly Father. This is impossible with sin still as the issue, isn't it? Until sin is taken out of the way, we can't draw near to God. But Jesus is the way that takes care of our sin. He's the only one who can do that. And because of that, he is the only way to the Father. He's the only channel. He's the only door. He's the only pathway to God himself. He said to his apostles in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. It's only through Jesus. He is the one. There's no other mediator. There's no other pathway to our Creator and to our God. Jesus is the only one. In John chapter 16, verse 23, he told his apostles, truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. He will give it to you in my name. When you come to the Father by my authority, through the pathway that I open up, God will hear you. God will answer your prayers. It's through Jesus. Jesus who has passed through the heavens. Jesus who has ascended to the right hand of God, that we can approach our God in prayer and find this nearness, this closeness, this intimacy that's possible only through Jesus Christ. Tim read from Hebrews 4 a few minutes ago. Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens. You see, there's his ascension. He has passed through the heavens. Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we, yet without sin. He came here. He came in the flesh. He lived this life. He knows what it's like. He becomes our representative. That's the basis by which he can be our mediator. He understands our plight. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. That's what Jesus makes possible as our mediator, as our intercessor. He opens up a way to the Father that allows us to draw near to God. Imagine for a minute a world without prayer. Imagine for a moment if you could not pray, if prayer was not a possibility, if it was not a part of what we are able to, what we're taught in the scriptures. It just simply did not exist. And there was no way for you in any way to think you could talk to God and God hear you and do anything about anything that you say. Think about that for just a moment. How distant God would be. How remote, absent, unavailable. I mean, he may as well not exist in a sense. I mean, if there's no ability to know him, if there's no way to come near to God, to spend time with him, to speak with him, to listen to him, to converse with him in prayer, if there's no way to pour out your heart to God, to seek his power and his help in your life, can you imagine how desperate we would be without this amazing lifeline of prayer and communion with God? He could exist, but he would be unavailable to us. We could not know him. We could not draw near to him. We couldn't truly love him. This is the way that Jesus opens up to us. And it's something that we have, I mean, it's just, we realize that it's such a known blessing to us that sometimes we may fail to reflect upon what a blessing it is until we think about what the world, what our life would be like if it were gone, if we couldn't talk to God. If we couldn't draw near to our Father and feel like we know him and he knows us and he knows my heart and he knows what's going on in my life and he knows what I need and he knows the rebuke that I need and he knows the encouragement, and to have that kind of closeness with our God and Creator, it's only possible because Jesus is the high priest. He is the intercessor. He's the one who continues to live and intercede on our behalf. And so we bring our petitions to God and we give our thanksgiving and our gratitude to God. And we praise him for all that he's done in our life and we seek his help and we intercede on behalf of others who are in need of God's help and strength. We pray. We draw near to the Father. And he knows us and we know him. We hear his word and we meditate on it. And this relationship grows so that we can do, as we're told to do several times in Scripture, draw near to him. Draw near to God. Come closer to him. Give your heart to him. Open up your life to him. I think how Paul says it in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. How could we live apart from that kind of relationship? Where we pour out our heart to God, we pour out our cares to God, and he hears, and he cares, and he responds, and he gives us strength, and he gives us mercy and grace to help us in our time of need. It's only because of Jesus and his work as our mediator and our intercessor that the door to the throne room of God has been opened. It's been opened by the presence of Christ, his sacrificial blood, his offering for us, and the work that he does on our behalf continually before the Father's throne. Hebrews 7:25 says he always lives to make intercession for them. That's what Jesus is doing now. He's interceding for you before the Father's throne over every aspect of your life and every need and concern and every praise and petition that you lift up to the Father in the precious name of Jesus Christ. As we think about this, as we think about this truth and this blessing, how do you respond to our mediator, to our God? What's the response to the one who gives his life, who pours out his blood to deal with sin so that we can eventually come near to God? What do you do? How do you respond to the one who gave up his life for you? I've just been thinking this week, and there are no illustrations. I keep thinking of people who've sacrificed for me in my life and how it's made me want to respond toward them. I think of my mom who goes back to work to help put me through school. You know, she goes to work to give that money to pay off, you know, to pay off tuition. I think of people who've sacrificed. I think of ways that my wife has sacrificed for me and others in my lifetime who've, and I have this desire to respond to them. And yet all of the illustrations I could think of and people that have sacrificed for you, they just fall short of how do you respond to someone who poured out his blood for you, who died for you to take away your sin. And when it comes to responding to Jesus in that way, I think the way we respond is we realize the horror of sin, the cost of sin, the price that was paid to forgive us and to redeem us of our sin. And determined that with the help of God and the Spirit of God living in us, we want to live a sanctified life. We want to live a holy life. We want to put sin behind us. We don't ever want to sin again. And as John says, you know, I know you're going to sin, and when you do, you have an advocate. Yes, and we do, and we're grateful for that, but we don't want to. We don't want to sin anymore. We don't want to go on that way anymore because we recognize the price that our mediator Jesus paid for us, and we respond accordingly. And pursue the holiness of God as God is even doing that within us, living within us in the presence of the Holy Spirit. But how do you respond to a mediator who then opens up the way to the throne room of God? You draw near. You draw near to God. You come before the throne of God appreciating what Christ has done for you. And you spend time before God, in prayer, in meditation, seeking Him, loving Him, praising Him, worshiping Him, drawing near to God, spending time in your life, our lives, in prayer to God, recognizing that the ability for us, the very ability for us to say, Father in heaven, just to say those words, just to start that, the price is the blood of Jesus Christ, and to value that great privilege and blessing that we have. You know, it's amazing sometimes how as even as Christians, people can just fail to pray. I mean, maybe pray in a habitual sense, it's mealtime or it's bed, but we can just pray out of habit or pray in some sort of formal way and not really be fervent in our prayers and be devoted to prayer. A blessing that's been opened up to us at such a price and cost in the blood of Jesus. To be devoted to Him, to bring our whole heart before the throne of God, to spend time and to appreciate the gift that we have, knowing that because of Christ, God will hear us. God will answer us. He will respond. And we can live in a new relationship with our Father. And you respond to Him by just giving Him everything. And just saying, what else can I do but respond by the giving of my life and everything that I am? I want to just have each of us today think about the importance of prayer in our lives, to give thanks for that, to give thanks for what Christ has done in opening the way, and then make certain that we are depending upon God in prayer. God can't do anything in this relationship if we don't come near, if we don't draw near, if we don't seek Him, if we don't come before Him and pray and ask for Him to be at work in our lives. Draw near to Him. And as we do, God draws near to us. And all of that's made possible through the intercession, the mediatorship of Jesus. You know, I'm thankful. I'm thankful for my wife. And before she was my wife, I'm thankful for what Ellen did in March 23rd, 1971, to be precise. I'm thankful that she became her own mediator. And that's my personal love story. That's my love story with her and the love that she had for me, and I'm grateful for that. But we're here today because of a love story that is beyond any other. It's the story of God's love for you and the story of God's love for me. How we were sinners We had no way to come to Him. We had no hope. Our relationship with God is severed. And God's love is so great that He acts. He does something about this. And He does it Himself. He sends Jesus. Yes, but who is Jesus? Jesus is God in the flesh. God coming in a body. This is God Himself coming to earth to bring about our redemption. Do you see? God becomes His own mediator. God comes and lives in Jesus Christ, lives the life of a human being so that He truly can bridge this span between you and I and on the human side and God, the deity, the God above all gods, that Jesus can be the mediator. God sends Jesus. He essentially becomes His own mediator. Jesus, to accomplish His work, dies on the cross, bears our sins, our guilt, our shame, tastes death, spiritual death for you and me. He does all of this, ascends into the heaven after His resurrection, and now appears before the throne room of God on your behalf with His blood to open up the way to the Father, to reconcile us and to redeem us. What love our God has for us, that He would go to such an extent not only to deal with the problem of sin, but now to keep this relationship close and allow us to draw near to Him and to know His power. The end of Romans chapter 8, when Paul's thinking about the amazing love of God to bring about our salvation and justification through Christ and the wonderful gift of the Holy Spirit who's been poured out on us and how God's plan for saving and redeeming us can just not be stopped by any power. You remember the words he speaks in Romans chapter 8, verse 31. Who or what shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son but gave Him up for us all, how will He not graciously give us all things? Paul says God gave His Son. God gave up the life of His Son. If He did that, what would He possibly withhold from us? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It's God who justifies. It's God who's proclaimed us righteous. And then he asks this question, who is to condemn? And here is his answer. Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Christ, at this moment, is at the right hand of God, interceding for you and me. Who can condemn us? We are proclaimed righteous by Jesus Christ and His blood in the very presence of God today. And that's why Paul then asks in the very next line, who can separate us from the love of Christ? Who can break this love? Who can stop what God is doing on our behalf? God has thrown open the door for us through Jesus Christ. The question is simply, will we walk through it? Those who are among us today who have maybe never confessed your faith in Christ and you haven't come into fellowship with God yet because you still have the problem of sin in your life. God sent Jesus to deal with that. He's paid the price for it on the cross. And if you believe that, if you're willing to trust in the blood of Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins, then come today confessing Him. Confessing Him for who He is, turning from your sin, and be baptized into Christ. Have your sins washed away. Be filled with the Spirit of God. And begin this life on this earth with Jesus Christ, your intercessor, your advocate with your Father and your God. And brothers and sisters, those of us who've experienced that salvation and that reconciliation with the Father, let's be devoted to a life of holiness. That's the life for which God has saved us and redeemed us through the blood of Jesus. And determined that we will be people who appreciate the avenue of prayer, who will draw near to God, who will seek Him out in our lives, who will live on His power and the strength that He provides. Today we praise God. We praise God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who sent Jesus to save us. Jesus who now sits at the right hand of the Majesty on high, having made purification for our sins. There He is, interceding in heaven for us now. That is the wondrous story that has saved our lives. It's the wondrous story that we proclaim to the world, the love of God in Jesus Christ. And if there are any who need to respond to that good news, we invite you. Let's stand and sing together.